We'll have the ushers get ready to come for the offering this morning. All right, let me pray as the ushers get ready to come. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for this service, the opportunity we have to support your work. Lord, we ask that you would bless the offering, make it sufficient in order to meet the needs. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not, as Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Summer and winter and springtime,
Lord, for your faithfulness, Lord, through all generations, through all seasons of our lives, day to day, hour by hour, Lord Jesus, we thank you. You are faithful when we are not. Thank you, Lord, that it's in you we place our trust, in you we place our hope, for you are our peace, our hope, and our anchor in this life. In your name we pray. Amen.
Ah, right. Thank you. Thanks, team, for leading us in worship. Hey, special thanks, too, to a lot of the guys and gals who came out, man, like paramedics, to help out Mila in her time of need. You really rallied. It was a long day, and you didn't quit till it was done. And you moved, you covered, you cleaned, you ate together, and you did a good work. And I esteem those of you who did that in the name of the love of Jesus Christ. You did that with very little notice, for nothing in return, except blessings that you'll see one day. You will see them. And I don't want to rob those from you by building you up too much. But again, the body of Christ at its best, going to help in time of need. You did it. It was a work of faith. A work of faith. You put feet to your faith. And I honor you for doing that. Mila is still hoping to get a few tarps to cover some things. A lot of things came in from her father's house that may get rained on. Who knows if this rain comes that they talk about. At least lightning and thunder would be nice to have some rain with it, wouldn't it? So, again, maybe see her after church. She's back there if you want to, if you have a tarp that you might be able to give. And she also has mentioned that she has a couple walkers. If you have some people in your household that would benefit from a walker, then she's got some of those things too. And other lots of stuff that maybe you would want to take some of that stuff off her hands. Well, then speak to her after service or talk to Antonio. He saw a lot of the stuff. And others who might have been helping her out. There's too many things for her to take. And so she would like to share some of them. However you want to do that, that's up to you. So leave it at that. Again, if you have a need, there's food after service on the tables there. So feel free to take a lot of those things too. Works of faith. We spent a lot of time talking about works of faith as we went through the book of Galatians. And we've already enjoyed two of them, four of them this morning. Communion is a work of faith. You are obeying Christ's mandate. When he said, do this in remembrance of me, we did that. We do that once a month. Why is it once a month? Well, maybe it's my own preference, because I can sometimes do something so often that it becomes more routine than worship. It gets even religious, you might say. And God is not honored by a legal work. He's honored by a love work, a work of love. And so for me, when I know that communion is going to be celebrated in the body of Christ once a month, man, I'm going to focus on that. I'm going to really put my heart, mind, and soul into considering what Jesus did for us. And faith involves all those things. It is a work of the heart, the mind, the emotions, our intelligence. Everything goes into our faith in Jesus Christ. So even as today we talk about faith, this whole chapter of Hebrews chapter 11, oftentimes called the Hall of Faith. You know, in San Diego, there's a place called the Hall of Champions down at the Balboa Park. And you go in there and you see the greats that came from San Diego that were very accomplished in various sports, the Olympics, the local baseball team, things like that. Well, you can consider Hebrews chapter 11 as those champions of the faith that have gone before us. And to be true and sure about this, faith is not a feeling. Faith is not a last resort. Faith is not wishful thinking. Faith is not blind. Faith is not a gamble. It's none of those things for us. Faith for us is a confident trusting and obedience to the Word of God, revealed in the spoken, written, and in the living Word of God, which is Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So our obedience, our faith, is on the rock-solid substance of Jesus Christ. And our eyes are wide open. It's not blind. And man, it's anything but a last resort. For us, it's a first go-to, is to go to Jesus Christ, to pray, ask him for his help. Too often times you hear people say this, well, I guess all we got now to go on is faith. We might as well pray. That's not us. No, he's our first turn. In times of trouble and in times of joy, we say either, thank you, Jesus. I don't deserve this. You gave it to me. Thank you. Or we say, help me, Jesus. God, I need you so bad right now. My life depends on it. I got a call this morning, 4:30 in the morning, by a guy who I met maybe 6 months ago, who had said he was a full-blown Satanist. Man, he knew the Bible of Anton LaVey, that he had written the Satanic Bible. He participated in all the rituals and things. And man, he said, I'm desperate. I cannot get this demon out of my life. I don't even want to give it a name. It somehow has just attached itself to me, and I want to shake it off so bad. I can't do it. Please help me. That was 4:30 this morning. So we prayed and pleaded for the blood of Jesus, man, to save this young man, because that's the only way he's going to shake any demon. It's the same thing for us. Man, anything that has a hold on our life, the only way it's going to be broken is through putting our faith, our confident trust and obedience in the Word of God. And for us, it's the living Word of God. It's Jesus. Regardless of the circumstances and the consequences, man, we're on the rock of Christ. And so pray for this young man. His name is Tanner. And man, he was in it for a long time. heroin and the Church of Satan together for a long time. But he has broken away, and he prayed, man. He cried out, and we are pleading for him. I told him we would pray for him this morning, and we're going to continue praying for him. So please, God, again, be with Tanner this morning, this moment, God. Please, Jesus, would you cast out this demon that's on him, God, that he allowed into his life 4 years ago, and God, it is tormenting him. And Lord Jesus, we ask that you would free him from that oppression, Lord, that harassment, God. He cannot be possessed by this demon, Lord, because you abide in him now. The Holy Spirit abides in him, Lord, as he called out to you, Jesus. He gave his life to you. But Lord, that demon does not want to leave his presence, God. So we're asking that you would do that, you would cast it away, that he would experience some form of rest and relief and freedom from the shackles that have been upon him for too long. So God, help him in this moment right now. We ask it, bring him to a church this morning, get him to a church, Lord, where they preach the true word of God, that they will open the Bible, Lord, and read it for themselves. Oh, God, help him now. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. So we stand with him. We have to continue standing with him. What else did we do this morning that was an act of faith? Well, we pray. We pray to the Lord. We trust he hears us. We trust that he's the living Christ, not the dead Christ, but the living Christ, whoever lives to make intercession for us. So we call out to him. We do that. Giving an offering, giving of your tithes or offerings, whether it's 50 cents or whatever it is, you give it in faith, saying, Jesus, I know that obviously to dwell in this little building, we pay the bills, Lord. I just want to help continue to do that. And Lord, I know that there's missionaries that go forth from this church. I want to support their work in the sharing of the gospel. So you do that, you give, and then you entrust us to disperse that money locally and in the faraway places for the furtherance of the gospel. That's what we do with it. And so that's an act of faith. Singing a song to Jesus, whom you can't see, yet you sing to him. And Jesus said, blessed are you who believe but have not seen. So we're blessed beyond even the disciples because they saw him right there. They sang a song with Jesus right next to him at the Last Supper. He's not with us physically right here anymore. He dwells in us through the Holy Spirit, no doubt about that. But we can't actually see him. We want to see him, and we want to be with him, and we will one day. The Bible's clear about that. We will see Jesus face to face one day. But until then, we exercise faith. We do that. Works of faith. Now, before we get into the chapter, and again, just reading the chapter will take most of our time. It's 38 verses about how those who went before us had confident trust and obedience to the word of God, regardless of the circumstances and consequences. But know this, once again, the substance of our faith, the thing of which our faith consists, and there is substance to our faith, is Jesus Christ. Just like when you go to the periodic table of elements and you go through and you find number 79 and you say, oh, AU, that's gold. 79 protons, 79 electrons within this nucleus, it has substance, it has matter, it's composed of something. Our faith has substance on the rock solid word of God and the living word of God, Jesus Christ. So just know that. And our faith has evidence. And the whole chapter of Hebrews chapter 11 is the evidence, the support for our assertion that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that there is a God. And he works in the lives of people. So we have substance, which is a scientific word. We have evidence, which is a legal word. So we got both science and legal for anybody. Anybody who needs those things, for the scientist and for the lawyer, man, Jesus has it covered. And for us too. So what is it about Jesus that we put him as the object of our faith? Well, the writer of Hebrews, I'll give you a little review. He's God's final revelation to man. He's the heir of all that are God the Father's, the Son has in him. He's the creator and upholder of the world. He's the brightness of God's glory. He's the exact image of his likeness. He single-handedly purges our sins. He sits at the right hand of God the Father interceding for us. He's greater than the angels, greater than all the prophets that came before him. He's our faithful high priest. He's the sacrifice. He's the sanctuary. He's the new covenant. He's the only mediator between God and man. And that all comes from the book of Hebrews. He's the only one that can stand in the gap between sinful man or woman and a holy God. Jesus bridged the gap by hanging on the cross. He makes peace for us with God. He's the only one that can do that. No other religious teacher could claim any of those things that I just told you. And they're all in the book of Hebrews. And so when you know these things about Jesus, when you've heard them, it demands a response. You've got to respond to Jesus when you hear about these things. And some respond with admiration. Some say, oh, what a great teacher he was. Just like Confucius, Buddha, Muhammad, Bill Gates, whoever. You know, they clump him all in the same. They admire him, you know. Others are skeptical about him. They say, oh, you know, was he really who he says he was? Don't you think he just kind of was a little bit out there? You know, I mean, he was a good guy and everything, but I think he went too far. Then there's others who just criticize him, and they say, what a wasted life. You know, he should have kept on going and overthrew the Romans when he had a chance. Guy wasted the chance that he had. They admire him. They're skeptical about him. They criticize him. But the only acceptable response, don't miss this, the only acceptable response that honors God, that pleases God, is faith. That's the response that we ought to have. Our confident trust and obedience in Jesus, regardless of the circumstances or the consequences for doing that. We say, Jesus, I trust you. I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God. God the Father incarnate. He who has seen the Father has seen the Son. Jesus, I believe you're the way, the truth, and the life. I believe you're the resurrection and the life. Whoever comes to you will never die. I believe you're the bread of life. I believe you're the vine or the branches. I believe you're the door to heaven. I believe you're the good shepherd. All these things, Jesus, you said it, and I do believe it. That's the rock of our faith right there. So if anybody says to you, man, you just got a blind faith, you say, no, man, my eyes are wide open. You're blind to what's keeping you in bondage. And believe me, people, they all have faith in something. They put their faith in themselves oftentimes. They put their faith in their boyfriend, their girlfriend, their boss, their team, the brakes on their car when they press down on it. They have faith it's going to stop the car. The stock market, popularity, in their teachers. Yet when it comes to approaching God, knowing God, pleasing God, having eternity with God, there should be no other object above your faith than that which is Jesus Christ. He's the only one that will have the final say and be the final way in your life. If he's not, then you put your faith in something else. And man, it's not going to hold up. When you die, it's not going to hold up. He'll be the only one that you have any chance of when you get to heaven. Because God will look at you and he'll either see Jesus Christ, his righteousness upon you, that you have been cleansed because of a prayer you prayed when you were 16 or 22 or 58, but you really meant it. And you said, Jesus, I need you. Man, you're covered, the Bible says, in the righteousness of Christ. You're hidden in Christ. You're saved for eternity. But man, if you're going on your own merit, read Revelation chapter 20. That's going to be a terrifying moment. If you've not received Jesus Christ, you rejected Jesus Christ, you heard about him, you said, yeah, yada, yada. It's a terrifying moment to stand before God having rejected Jesus Christ and the alternative being cast into outer darkness apart from God forever in a place prepared for the devil and his angels called hell. Terrifying. But that is not you. You see, you don't have to live like that. This chapter should encourage us, strengthen us. It ought to spur us on to press on, and it ought to give us rest. And rest is an act of obedience. Can you believe that? Man, when Addie tells, when Danae, my daughter-in-law, tells Addie, my granddaughter, Addie, you need to go to sleep. Now, she could disobey and say, no, I'm going to go read a book instead. Or she can say, okay, Mom, I'll go to sleep. It might be a struggle, but she obeys to do that. Resting in God is an obedience. It could be a discipline. It's hard to rest in a world that's chaotic and full of turmoil and stress, but we're called to rest in the promises of God. So let's get some rest right now. Let's read Hebrews chapter 11. And again, it's a long chapter. Settle in. I'm going to read the whole thing. And if I only have 5 minutes to comment on it, then so be it. But I think we ought to let the word of God speak for itself in a lot of ways. And so here we go. Please, God, help us now. Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Soundtrack. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By the way, we're going to go from Genesis all the way through Jesus. This is going to cover thousands of years right now in 40 verses. So once again, by faith Abel, Genesis chapter 4, offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And again, how did he please God? By faith. Quick comment. As we read about the common thread in all these people, it's faith, 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 faith. And this is the way that we please God, through faith. I will say this. We please God, a baseball player, it's impossible to please God, please your baseball coach without hits. It's impossible to please your football coach without touchdowns. It's impossible to please the tourists who come to Julian without apples. It's impossible to please the Amway director of the West Coast without selling Amway product. It's impossible to please your CHP sergeant without giving tickets away. So the way we please God is by our faith. That pleases God. Just keep that in mind. It's the one thing that really pleases God. So continuing on. There it is, verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he or she who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, obedience, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. And again, it says Noah preached for years, maybe 100 years, building this ark. And it seems like only his kids and his wife and their wives listened. And so, man, he shut the door and judgment began. By faith, Abraham, verse 8, obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. God called him and said, leave everything familiar that you know. Come. And he did it. He left it. And maybe we do that too. We did that. All the friends that you party with and get stupid with and the movies that you watch and the place that you hang out. Man, God calls you to leave those things when you come to know Jesus Christ. He says, hey, leave that nonsense behind. Come follow me. Give your whole self to me. Going on, by faith, verse 11, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age. She was probably about Alita's age. Okay, that's the truth of the Bible. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, Abraham, and him as good as dead, who's about 100 years old, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Quick comment. Many of you know Jessica Bakken, Cheryl Bakken. They come to first service. Jessica graduated senior in high school from Julian High School, goes to Annapolis, the Naval Academy, right? So she's showing me pictures before service I said, what's Jessica doing? And so she shows me this one picture, and it's all the cadets, or plebe, what do they call them, plebe? Thank you, midshipmen, yes, thank you, John. And they're assembled in their white clothing. Now, I know there's a name for that, too. I don't know what it's, but anyway. And they're assembled, all 1,000 of them, spelling out 2026. Now, that's faith. That's taking the future as if it's right now. They're looking, they're living in that. Yes, they're all in this, they're so caught up and focused in their training right now, the best of the best. But man, they're looking already to 2026, when they will have finished 4 years of intensive training. But they're sure of it. They line up in a formation for 2026, like, oh yeah, no doubt about it, I'm gonna be there. That's the kind of faith that we're to have. Like, Jesus, I don't understand this right now, what I'm going through. It's hurting me. I'm suffering, Lord, but I know you're faithful, Jesus. I know you're gonna carry me to the other side. So although I'm hurting now, I'm trusting you completely, and I know, without a doubt, you're gonna get me there. But I'm gonna have moments of weakness, God. Would you carry me? Would you carry me through those moments of weakness to cross the river when it gets real deep and I feel like I'm suffering and suffocating and I can't breathe anymore? Jesus, be right next to me. He says, I'm there. I'm right there. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I won't leave you as orphans. I'm with you. The Holy Spirit of God, who reflects me, resides in you. So he's there with us. So going on. You know, I told myself before I started reading, I wasn't going to stop, but I stopped already 4 times. Okay, so 14, 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Verse 14, for those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, the son of the promise, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Again, that moment that God calls Abraham to offer his son, and Abraham says, okay, Lord, I know that you're going to, through my descendants, you're going to bless the whole world, but this is my only son that you said was the one that's going to do that, but now you're asking me to offer him. I guess you're going to bring him back from the dead. And so he goes, he tells the servants, hey, we're going to go back. We're going to go up the mountain there and worship God, but we're going to be back. We'll be back in a little bit. So Abraham, man, he went by faith, knowing that that's the way God was going to do it. Well, he was going to have to raise up Isaac, so he went. But of course, God said, no. Abraham, I can see your faith. Man, you're my guy. Abraham was called a friend of God. He trusted God to give up his one prized possession that he held above anything else. He was willing to give up his own son. And this week in the men's Bible study, we asked the question, what is it that maybe God would ask you to give up, that you've held on to, that you just cannot imagine life without? And one of our guys said, I have to give up the idea that I always told God I have to go before my kids. I can't, please God, you can never let one of my kids die before me. He said, I'm getting older and I might outlive my kids. He says, I gotta give that up to God, that I might go through the suffering of seeing my kids go before me. Man, when you live to be 95 years old, you know, that's a possibility. Even if you live to be 80 years old or 70. And so he said, I got to give that up. I got to be willing to give my son to you, trusting that he'll be with you in heaven. We came to that point this time last year when my mother-in-law gets COVID. A year ago today, she's diagnosed with COVID. And we say, Lord, please, God, would you please preserve Cecilia? We really want her to be with us, God. And then over the course of 20 days, she worsens and worsens. And we have to have that obedience to God to say, Lord, we love her so much, but we are willing to release her to you, God. She's suffering. We know she's going to be with you in a moment. She's going to be with you, Jesus. So please let our faith come forward now in this moment of sadness. And this is a tough month for my wife, very tough month. keep her in your prayers as she remembers her mom's passing. Very difficult. But yet, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, the Bible says. We hold on to those promises of God. We're going to be with him. Going on. Verse 16, but now they desire better, that is a heavenly country. I already read that. Going down to verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. I combine Isaac and Esau. Concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, Abraham's grandson, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. Verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command to drown him, basically. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, the slaves, the Israelites, than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Verse 27, by faith, Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He obeyed God rather than the king. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. We just shared that in communion time. By faith, they, the Israelites, passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do the same without faith, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall we say? For the time would not permit me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, and we could add Ruth and Esther and Mary and Sarah. We could go on and on. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the invading armies. Women received their dead raised to life again. Now it turns a corner. Those are ones we like to talk about. When we feel, oh God, you came through. You know, shut the lion's mouth, save them in the fiery furnace. But now, listen, others, verse 35, were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, whippings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. They didn't live to see the coming of the Messiah. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. And again, I think this is a reference to that moment that Paul speaks of when he says, know this, that at the last trumpet sound, the dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with the Lord in the air with them. There's going to be a reunion of the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints. And when Jesus died on the cross, in various places in the Bible, it teaches that he descended into the place we call Sheol, where the Old Testament saints were kept with Abraham. And there was definitely two compartments, the Bible teaches. There were those who were condemned, and there were those who were waiting for the Messiah. And it seems like Jesus went there, led captivity captive, took them up with him, and man, they're somehow waiting for the New Testament saints in heaven. Those who died in faith in Jesus are with those who died in faith in the promises of God before the Messiah came. But there's going to be an awesome reunion in heaven of Old Testament and New Testament saints. I'm sure it's going on even now. But that verse 40 speaks of that. There is so much here. And again, with 1 minute, I will say this. Our faith in Jesus Christ is worth more than anything we own on this earth. The Apostle Peter says, although you're grieved by various trials, the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, might be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen yet, you love. Pure gold has been tried by fire. True gold has been put through the fire so that as it's heated up, and I know many of you know this, that gold that's found in a rock or a nugget or a grain, it has to be extracted. Usually, to make it pure, you heat it up, and as it's heated up, it begins to melt. And the stuff that's not gold, whether it's copper, palladium, pyrite, whatever it is that gold bonds to, whatever is not gold will separate. And it will float to the top of that cauldron. And then, of course, the goldsmith will skim it off. And what's left is pure gold. And then it's poured into a different shape, whether it's a wire, a bar, a film of paper. And so too with us. We go through the trials. Man, the heat gets turned on. We're tempted to do things that would dishonor the name of God. Or we go through suffering, maybe violent suffering, because we believe in Jesus' name. Other places, man, they get worked. They get beat. It's when you think about gang members like initiating each other, beating them in and beating them out. Some people go through that like on a weekly basis for the name of Jesus. But here's the thing. What's left? After all the bodily injury is done, all the temptation has been turned away from, what's left is a faith that's been tested, and it becomes more golden. And oftentimes, people say faith that hasn't been tested cannot be trusted. Your faith will be tested. But the testing is to purify you, not to punish you. You're not being punished in any way. The wrath of God is already poured out on the cross, but he is purifying you with trials and sufferings. So if you're going through those right now and you don't understand it, hey, call out to Jesus. Say, Jesus, I'm getting weak right now. God, help me to turn away from that sweet-talking guy, that sweet-talking girl. Lord, God, help me as I know that the guys at work are going to tease me all during lunchtime because I'm reading your word, God. They're going to tease me. As a matter of fact, some of them have threatened to deflate my tires after work. Lord, I'm going to suffer. But Lord, I want to stand on you. I want to be faithful. I want to be obedient no matter what the circumstances, what the consequences. Jesus, I'm going to stand on you. You're the rock. And I trust you, Lord. You're going to take me through to the other side. So that is the encouragement that comes from this chapter, which again is so full of ordinary people, which we think are heroes, but they were once just called ordinary people, like you and me, that just stood on the rock. And so with that, let's stand right now. And through prayer, let's stand on the rock. And if Jesus Christ is not your rock, then I would encourage you to invite him in today to receive the gift of salvation that he offers and to put your trust in him for a moment. Trust him with your life. And then he'll give you the strength to trust him for an eternity. He'll do that. So thank you, dear God, in Jesus' name, for this time you've given us, Lord. Thank you for these ordinary men and women who did extraordinary things by simply putting their faith, their confident trust, and obedience in the word, the spoken, written, living word of God, regardless of the circumstances and the consequences. They did it, Jesus. And in that way, man, they shine like gold as we read about them, Lord. But Lord, we want to be those people that stand on the rock of you, Jesus. We want to be those ones that our kids look back on and say, Dad, Mom, they trusted Jesus. They had faith that was real. We want our neighbors to see neighbors who are loving, that have the love of Jesus. God, help us in our faith to go bring some cookies to our neighbors or help them rake the leaves or something. God, help us. Lord, thank you for those men and women who acted in faith this week by helping Mila, Lord. God, thank you, Jesus. And Lord, if there's anybody here who has never trusted you, Jesus, who's never put their faith in you, their confidence in you, and up until now it's been in themselves or in something else, I pray they would surrender. They would surrender, God, and say, Jesus, I need you. I am sorry. I want to put my faith in you, Jesus, knowing that you're the only one that can forgive me of my sin that gets in the way of me and you. I missed the mark, Lord. Can't do it. I admit it now. I admit it. And now I believe in you, Jesus. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God. You died for my sins and the sins of the whole world. I receive you. I receive you. I willfully, in my mind, my emotions, my heart, I receive you. I know what I'm doing right now, Lord. I'm not out of my mind. I'm thinking more clearly than I ever have. And I say yes. I say yes to you. And now I want to confess to everybody that I see, I did it. I asked you to be my Savior. And you saved me, Jesus. You saved me today for eternity. No matter what I do from here on in, Jesus, I'm your son, I'm your daughter, and that seals it. Thank you for this moment. And God, I ask your blessing upon those of us who have walked with you for a while. God, let us not lose our zeal. Increase our faith in you, Jesus. Help us to stand on the rock-solid substance of you, Jesus. And let the evidence be our lives that are full of love and compassion and kindness until the day you come back for us, Lord, or the day we die physically and see you face to face in heaven. God, help us now to walk the walk of faith. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, God bless you. And if you prayed that prayer, don't leave without telling somebody. I would love to hear it myself. I'd love to hear that you did that. And hey, before you get your kids, get a snack and then get your kids. So God bless you. Enjoy the fellowship. We'll see you next week. Marriage Monday tomorrow. Don't forget Marriage Mondays. Couples, come, enjoy. See you tomorrow, 6 o'clock.